In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Just a little anecdote here. 2 weeks ago, Father Chris emailed me. I'm going to be gone. Could you please do the sermon on the 27th? I said, sure. Right after that, being the diligent person I am, I dove right into it. Lo and behold, last week, Father Chris said, I'm going to do some sermons on miracles. And I said, that's odd because that's exactly what I started writing about for today's sermon. So, anyway, today we hear the story of another miraculous healing of Jesus Christ. Now, at this point in Luke, that's kind of old hat. The word was out and people came from miles away just to see him and to be healed of all their afflictions. He already cast out the fever from Simon's mother. He filled the nets of Peter's boat and he called the disciple. He healed the lepers, he healed the paralytic, healed the centurion's slave, healed the son of the widow, and many, many more. Now, I suppose we 21st century Christians who have heard these stories again and again could see this just as another account of healing. And isn't that nice? But that wasn't the response that Jesus got from the man he healed today. This was more personal. His life was destroyed by the madness and nothing had availed to comfort or heal him. His proximity to the herd of pigs was probably an indication of his status. He was really nothing more than an animal. And then Jesus comes into his life and heals him and makes him new. Virtually creates a new human being. Now the crowds react in fear. They don't know what to make of it, so they send him away. Now the man that he healed reacted with awe, and he rejoiced. He asked if he could follow Jesus, and Jesus replied, no. Instead, be a witness. Be a voice in your place that proclaims the power and love of God. Be a living testimony to the miraculous healing. Go and tell someone. Now, at some point in your life, I would imagine you've heard someone say, why aren't there any more miracles? Now, I've heard it many, many, many times in my life. And I think we're surrounded daily by miracles. Miracles in medicine has reached a competence where lives that were in the past in jeopardy can now be saved or extended. Miracles in technology, which now has taken hundreds of millions of light years into space, we're able to see, according to the latest scientific calculations, how the universe may eventually end. Now, we might not want to know that information, but it's still a miracle. Miracles are all around us. The problem is that our faith has shifted from recognizing the divine love of God for his creation in such things to crediting our own cleverness and competence to both discover the unknown and then to control it, to take credit for it. We diminish God out of fear, like those in our gospel reading today. Have we put so much faith in the expectation that our cleverness and competence will deliver us from whatever situation we're in? Have our lives become so filled with routine miracles that in them we no longer recognize the hand of God, the blessings of God among us? Have we found ourselves putting so much faith in our cleverness that the restoration of a broken human being no longer inspires the awe-ness of God in us? Now we have expectations of commonplace miracles and the expectation of restoration. If something is broken, somehow it's going to get fixed by anything from superglue to angioplasty. Now, I'm probably most guilty of this. In my career, I've done many crazy things, and I've gotten hurt a lot. And every time I got hurt, I went to the orthopedic surgeon and said, fix me. 20-some times I did that. And I didn't think anything of it. Now, the last time, I was concerned. I asked Father Chris, is it really right to have something implanted in me that's foreign? And he replied, think of it as a gift. And that all that technology that went into creating the procedure was really gifts from God, and they're all miracles. Now, that really eased my mind. And I'm very thankful for that. Now, these are all gifts discovered and wielded by the freedom that we are given by God. There's nothing sinister about our medicine or our technology or our physics. What I'm saying is that we cannot depend on those to be our deliverers. Because finally, technology is bound by its own self-imposed limitations. So how do we respond to this in our faith? How do we respond to all this as a prophetic community? We being commanded, just as a healed man in today's gospel, to go to our own place and tell. First, a little about this prophetic business. The person who witnessed the raising of the widow's son, if you remember, declared, "A great prophet has risen among us." That was a bold and profound thing to say out loud at that time. Because a prophet at those times was recognized as one who represented the truth. He spoke with the mouth of God. Those who witnessed the raising of the widow's son recognized the power and responded saying, "A great prophet has risen among us." Not so today in our gospel. Christ commanded the healed one to be that witness, to be the seed of that prophetic community that proclaims the love and power of God. Now, when you speak of prophets, we're not talking about old gray-haired men with crystal balls. That's not a prophet, that's a character. A prophet is one who speaks the truth, and they who recognize the truth and speak are the prophetic community. We are heirs to that command, to always remember the source of miracles. We're the people to whom that prophetic community has spoken. We say we recognize that power and that truth, and here it is, right here. That's what we do each Sunday. That's what we do when we teach our children. We do it when we visit one another in the hospital. We do it when we comfort one another. We do it when we gather around our tables together. We declare that we are in the hands of a loving, powerful, and compassionate God who loves creation. In the midst of all this mind-blowing cleverness and intellect and competence all around us, can we still see the hand of God, the intention of God? Do we still claim that a great prophet has risen among us and that God has looked with favor on us, his people? If we can't, if we put our eggs in another basket, then our faith is misplaced. Competence and cleverness can solve a problem on a single plane, but it can't give you real hope. If our faith is misplaced, then our hope is diminished. And if we are anything as a prophetic community, we're a hopeful community. We proclaim that God keeps his promises. We proclaim that we are restored by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We proclaim the miracle that we are all one in Christ, as Paul says, neither slave nor free, Greek nor Jew, male or female. That is a miracle in this time. We proclaim that we are restored. We broken, demon-filled people are restored by the love of Christ. The misplacement of our faith diminishes our hope and undermines us as a prophetic community. Our cleverness and our competence cannot create real hope. Our cleverness and competence cannot create real compassion. Our cleverness and our competence cannot create real love. But the prophetic community says the hand of God is in all things, and they're good things, meant to lift up the people of God. If that is our orientation, if we seek the divine in all things, if that's where our feet and our hearts are grounded, then we can look with wonder, with awe, at the work of God. If we can see the divine in all things, we can look out at the wonders of the universe, of life, of love, of healing, of reconciliation, and respond with joy and recognition and thanksgiving to proclaim with that joy and hope and love that truly Christ is in our midst. Amen. Amen.